So you guys ought to bear with me today. I don't have much of a voice, but I'm gonna lean heavily on Bob today as we go through. So today we're finishing up talking about Give, Serve, Reach as a sermon series, but we're just starting this campaign as a church. And so this campaign is all about, it's a big deal that Bob has been in ministry for 50 years. Yeah. And when Bob was asked how he wanted to celebrate it, Bob said, I want to help Maywood go forward into the future. And so he talked about a building campaign. We're trying to raise $250,000, and some of that is for immediate needs, like air conditioning stuff and painting the steeple. But if we get all the way to that 250 mark, then we want to do a redesign of like a worship center, or welcome area, and some things like that. So whether we get all the way there or not, we've got some plans and priorities on that side of it. But the give, serve, reach, you know, we talked last week about giving. There's a financial piece to giving. We talked about some other pieces of it too. But today, we're going to focus in on that serving and reaching. Because Bob, all throughout his ministry, he's always been giving, but he's also had a servant's heart. He's the one always taking the trash out and things like that, just like you mentioned in the baptism. And he's always had a heart to reach out to this community. When you look around Maywood and you see, we don't look like a lot of the other churches around here, but we do look a little bit like an assembly at Van Horn or something, you know, like we look a little bit like the neighborhood looks, you know. And so that's because we've reached out, and Bob has led the way in that, okay. So today we're talking about serving and reaching. Bob, will you pray?
I will. Lord, we thank you for today, and we just thank you for what you've already done during this service. Thank you for those who are baptized. Thank you for those who prayed for the baptism. Thank you for the folks that got prayed for just a few minutes ago. Lord, you're wonderful, and you're doing great things. And Lord, we just ask today that you come and take the next few minutes and do something mighty in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. So, y'all, I'm in charge of the nursery. There's a chain of command, so everybody that works in a nursery, they somehow filter up to me with complaints, gripes, and things like that. We are not going past 12 o'clock. Just want you all to know, because I don't want anybody in the nursery to come after me and cut the tires on my van. So we're going to get right at it, and we're going to say a whole lot in 20 minutes, all right? So you ready for this? I know it. My dad used to say to me all the time when he was alive, Bob, there's no such thing as a bad short sermon. So here we go. All right, you ready for this? We're going to look at the Great Commission. Jesus approached. He's told them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he told them to do this. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I just want you to know right now, being a follower of Jesus is the best gift God can give you. Amen. He never asks us for something that he doesn't give us. And so when he asks us to be a disciple, it's the best gift he's got, all right? Bunch of guys from here going down to Atlanta, they're called Follow Me Construction, all right? And they, you know, God's constructing lives as they construct stuff, all right? And so that's the best gift God's got for you, is to follow him, to be baptized, to be immersed in the life of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything. God's got the best direction. You all hear all the time, take direction, all right? You hear, do the next right thing. If you are informed by Jesus Christ to do the next right thing, you cannot lose, all right? Amen? And then the last gift, he's with you all the time, every day. God puts his hand in your hand, and he leads you through life. You cannot beat that, all right? So there's power in believing what we've talked about, and that power is Romans. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said, because it is God's power for salvation. It rescues us. Mike Sanders, come on down. So do what? There you go. All right. Go for it, Mike. This is the power of God for salvation. Mike Sanders, you are a living example. Go.
Go. Put my chair, Bob. Praise God.
Is it on? Is it on? No. Okay. I didn't know I was coming up here until about 20 minutes ago, 40 minutes ago. All right, so salvation. Okay, so let's read this verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is God's power for the salvation of everyone who believes, in the Jew first and then the Greeks. So to me,
what was your life like before you met Jesus?
I was junk, Bob. So matter of fact, like the word salvation kind of sounds like salvage. And that's exactly what Jesus did, is he salvaged my life. And he put me in this church right here. And it's just a beautiful place.
How'd you meet Jesus, Mike?
How'd I meet Jesus? For real, for real? Because I was at my wit's end. I didn't know how to continue on. I didn't know how to do anything except get high and be a piece of trash. And I didn't want to do that no more. Here's the thing. Okay, here we go. I got a baby right back here. And that baby, all he truly wants is my love. And that's the same spirit. The same spirit that lives in that baby is like my spirit. All I really want is God's love. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that. All I knew was sin and destruction. But once I realized that all my spirit really wants is God's love, I started to accept his love. And then I started to live with real peace and real joy and real happiness.
Mike, when you showed up at the Maple House, what did you have?
Nothing. I had nothing but the clothes on my back.
Okay. So you
literally, like, they were women's pants I was wearing.
I didn't know that part of the story, yeah. Okay. So you had nothing when you showed up at the Maple House. God showed up. What did his power do from that point forward?
He changed my life. He gave me salvation. So, like, here's the thing, like, we all know that we're going to die and go to heaven when we believe in Jesus. But here's the thing. We still have to live life right here today. And when I allow Jesus to come and live inside my heart, the Holy Spirit guides my every decision. So, like, in being in recovery, I had an opportunity to go get my union job back. But I knew when I got my union job back that they were going to take $1,200 a month for my child support. So I couldn't run from it no more. I had to have that job. As a matter of fact, when I had my son and he was born with the heart condition, if I didn't have the insurance that this job was giving me right now, I don't know what I would do. But I knew this. When I took that job, I knew that no matter what, the Holy Spirit would provide for me and guide me through any troubled times that I've had. And it don't matter. Like, me and Brooke went into the week sometimes only having like $30 to make it through the whole week. And somehow we've made it every single time. And that's what the power of God does. The power of God tells me, the power of God tells me to listen to the Holy Spirit. And like I've heard Jake tell me this before, like when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, if I listen, then it's going to turn out to be okay. And if I don't listen, it's going to turn out to be crap every single time. And the more that I listen, the more that I listen, the easier it is to listen. And the more that I listen, the better my life is. Like, my life is not easy, man. I have a lot going on. My son's about to have open heart surgery in a week, and that's really scary stuff. But you know this? I get on my knees every single morning without fail, and I give my life and my will to God, and it always turns out all right.
That's a satisfied customer. Jake and I say all the time, we say we're kind of like the salesman. He's a satisfied customer. You heard from him. Jake, tell us how, if somebody's here today and you want to do what Mike did, Jake's going to take you through some steps really quick.
Okay, if you're here and you're like, I need what that guy has, here's two pictures to show you. This is a condition of humanity, okay? Us is the dark, brown, deserty, dry. If you think about it, like my voice sounds right now, maybe, you know, it's weak, it's dry, you don't know how much longer it's going to go. That's where we're at. If you're here today and you think you can fix yourself on your own, then you can keep trying that. The best thing for you to do is to go full steam ahead with that plan and get it over with, you know? Just do it. But if you're here today and you say, I know I can't fix myself, That's the spot that Mike was at when he was wearing women's pants, okay? He was there, you know, saying, I don't have anything. I did it all my own way. I tried it all my own way. If you were at the Another Chance concert, you got to hear some of the details there. He tried it his way, and it failed. And when he was willing to come to God and say, I can't fix myself, then he was ready, okay? So if you're here today and you say, I know I can't fix myself, let's look at this next picture. Here's what Jesus did for us, okay? He made a bridge, okay? He made a bridge so we can get to where we need to be, where we can have a connection with God. Picked a picture there, or there's a cross on that bridge, okay? That's the path that Jesus gives us. Real quick, the cross, 2,000 years ago, you know, Roman women didn't wear crosses around their neck. You know, like, the cross wasn't something that you put up on your wall back 2,000 years ago. The cross was a symbol that there's a big, powerful, evil government that if you step out of line, they will bully you so hard, they will nail you to a pole until you die. That's what a cross was about. It was about Rome saying, we can do whatever we want to you. We can torture you. And that's what a cross was about. Why did a cross become a symbol of new life? It's because it's the way Jesus chose to give us new life. Somebody had to pay for all the junk that Mike did. Somebody had to pay for all the junk that I did. Somebody had to pay for all the stuff that Bob did. Jesus paid for it on the cross. Now, that passage we read where Jesus said, go make disciples, go make people who follow me, who do what I do. Here's the amazing thing about Jesus. Jesus went to a cross for us, and we all love that. The reality about Jesus is, Jesus says, now come and follow me. Take up a cross yourself. That is the way to new life. This bridge here, you don't just hop over it to get to God. The way you get to God is you say, I can't do it on my own. And I'm willing to suffer, and I'm willing to bleed out all my selfishness, and I'm willing to be mocked and let my pride go because I want you that bad, Jesus. And if you come to him that way, he'll never turn you away. Doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter what other people say about you, doesn't matter anything else. If you come to him that hard, if I want you more than anything, Jesus, and I'll do anything to get you, then you'll have him. But if you come to him and you say, I'm really thankful for your grace, and I'm going to do the rest of this on my own, it's not going to work. The picture doesn't work that way, okay? So there's a cross in the middle. So we're talking about reaching. We talked about reaching. Let's talk about the service piece, because service is where a lot of this hits the road of Jesus wants us to do something.
You got it. All right. So I cannot say this passionately enough. You all who are right here, and some others who aren't here today, but they would be here generally, you are literally the answer for Western independence. Amen? Amen. I have lived in Western independence for 34 years, and it's as bad as it has ever been. And you all are the way to transform this community from being really bad to being something where Jesus can be glorified, all right? And we've made some good steps. The Friday night concert, we could spend an hour talking about that. It was wonderful. And those are some things. I loved praying up here beside Kyle Glory today and watching you in action, sir. You know, I probably saw some other people too, but I was right beside Kyle. Those are some great things. But we desperately need to penetrate this community. We need to think, all of us need to think of ourselves as being deputized by the Lord on his team to rescue the perishing, to care for the dying, and to let people know that Jesus is merciful and Jesus will do in their life what he did for Mike and so many other people right in here. We've got to be on top of that. And so I'm going to take you through some things really fast. I want to flip up my barricade. Some of us do that to people. We do it by how we talk. If you say one thing one day and something else the other day, people are going to have a hard time believing your stuff about Jesus. All right? Our talk has got to be right all the time. So if one day you hear me saying Jesus loves you and the next day you hear me cussing you out, that's pretty hard to swallow. Which one of these messages am I going to receive? All right? For the church crowd, guys like Jake and me, man, religion right now is hard to swallow for some folks. I'm just going to be real honest. We are driving people away from the church, and we've got to be careful what we have to say. All right? We've just got to be careful how we say it. And so look at that picture. I don't want to be the barrier that somebody has to climb over to get to Jesus, either by my actions, by my words, by my speech, whatever it might be. All right? Let's take the next picture. There's a bridge. That's what I want to be, and I pray that that's what you'll be. What if we unleashed? We probably got 300 people in here right now. What if 300 of us went out and said, I'm going to be the best bridge I can be to help people cross over that bridge to meet Jesus? I'm going to take him by the hand. We're going to walk together. We get to the other side and we'll say, here's Jesus. Put your hand in his hand and watch what he does for you. Let's try that. So service is the way to get there. We have go and we have reach, and then we have serve. Let's talk about the word service. Jesus sat down and called the 12, and he said, if you want to be the first, you've got to be the last and the servant of all. If you want to be a first-place finisher in God's work, you need to take on the heart of a servant. I cannot say that enough. God does not rule his kingdom by a bunch of lords up here who have all the stuff, and then they make all their minions down here do their stuff for them. All right, the cross is Jesus leaving glory and becoming one of us. And he modeled that for us. And it's not some romantic thing. It was the most awful death, most humiliating death that ever could have been. He became one of us so he could make us rich. The Bible says, he who was rich became poor so that we might become rich in him. All right? And so we've got to adopt it. Let me talk to you about three real fast things. Number one, get your grace-giving spirit. You're not going to get that apart from Jesus, but if you'll live with Jesus and you stay with him, he will peel away all the junk and all the layers, and you'll begin giving grace. All right? What is a grace-giving spirit? Well, I'll tell you what it's not. It's not an angry spirit. It's not a mean spirit. It's not an entitlement spirit. It's not a spirit of contention. It's not a spirit of being right all the time. It's not any of that stuff. It is one where you give what Jesus gives. If I can give to people what Jesus has given to me, I can't do any better than that. All right? And, we were up here praying with Michelle. So much of her buddies brought her up. I'm sorry, I'm picking on you all day, aren't I? Bunch of her buddies brought her up there, and they just prayed that she would get with God every morning. She'd be filled up with the Holy Spirit, and she'd go from there. You can't beat that, all right? So grace-giving spirit will allow us to take people by the hand, walk them across the bridge, say, Jesus, here is my friend. Do something with him. Do something with her, all right? Second thing is to listen. Listening is so important. I'm not going to talk much about it. I could talk all day about it. Listening is crucial. If you listen to me, you set us in my heart a desire to listen to you. Flip it around. If you don't listen to me, you have a hard time getting me to listen to you, right? So if we're going to take people across that bridge to meet Jesus, how do we do it? Not just by always talking and telling and all that stuff. It'll be by taking them across, by listening to them. Number three, you ready? Choose your battles wisely. All right? By the way, who do we fight with the most? The people closest to us. All right? Tony can attest to that. Hey, Bob, you're really good on Sunday, but when I get you home on Monday, I got to work with you, pal. It's just, all right? And so who do we work with the most? It's the people closest to us. Our coworkers, our friends, our family. And so it's really important to choose our battles wisely. I might win the battle but lose the war. Here's the goal. The goal is not me being right, all right? The goal is me taking somebody by the hand and leading them over the bridge to meet Jesus. And I've just chewed them out, or if I've just cussed them out, or I've just yelled at them, or if I've been right in my righteousness, all that stuff. Hey, you want to follow me? Pal, I'm not following you anywhere. All right? I'm not going with you. And so it is so important for us to be servants, to have a servant heart. Now, I'm going to summarize this really quick. Jesus has a great offer for the world, and that offer is life with him. That's a great, I mean, there is no better offer in the world than life with him. All right? You folks, us folks, God's given us a job. He didn't just to have fun at church. He's given us a job to rescue people who are perishing, to care for people who are dying, to work with folks in the AA world and just to be kind and to be loving, to say, you know, let me tell you, there's another way. To work with folks, to help them, all right? And to do that how? To do it as servants, all right? So, Jake, if you can pray in 30 seconds, we will beat the 12 o'clock bell.
There we go.
Go for it.
We'll be quick. We talked a lot today. Real quick here, guys. What's the one thing you're going to carry with you? Your soul doesn't have pockets, okay? You can't carry a lot. Bob said that Western independence is worse today than it was 34 years ago. Like, that hit me. I need to talk to God about that. What hit you? You're saying, I need to leave here and go figure this out with God. There's a whole lot said. If you want to start that new journey with Jesus, talk to Mike, talk to me, talk to Bob. We'll start it. For everybody else, what's the one thing you want to hold on to? Let's pray. Jesus, you went before us. We thank you for that, Jesus. I pray you would show each one of us the next step you have for us. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we could have the power to take that step. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.